Motorola alone, with 200 million phones a year, outships the PC industry. And so for those that questioned what the future of mobile computing would look like, what the future of computing would look like, I think we have an answer already. The future of the network is going to be defined by mobile devices and not simply by one company or one company's product. But so the question now we've got is, how do we grow this even farther? What is it we can do to really push the limits and really push the contributions made by more than simply the corporations that are involved, but by the individuals? And I want to reiterate for everybody in this room, the power of the individual. Go to jcp.org, Wi-Fi's working in the room, go sign up, become a member, continue to help define not only the future of the platform, but the markets for which that platform is going to be applicable. Now, as I pointed out, individuals have an enormous influence over the future of the landscape, especially the technology landscape. The barriers to enter this marketplace have dropped and just continued to drop. The network has an enormous democratizing effect on innovation and opportunity. And one individual, I think, really helps to define the contributions and the effect the contributions of a single individual can have on a social movement, on a technology movement. That one individual for me is Mark Shuttleworth, who's the founder and chief executive officer of Canonical Inc. So Mark, I'd like to invite you up to join me. I'm glad to see you dressed appropriate for the occasion as well.
Well, being a South African Brazilian, I wasn't sure exactly what to expect, but thank you for making me feel at home with the great Southern African music there.
Good. So, Mark, you're involved pretty deeply in one specific community, and why don't you tell us about what that community is and what its impact on the world is?
That's the Ubuntu community. It's a community that has a vision that I think John Gage would find elegant and beautiful, that expresses what we're seeing on the server with Linux powering ahead, and what we're seeing on the cell phone with Linux powering ahead, but taking that vision to the desktop. And as a community, bringing together the very best of free software to build a desktop that is powerful, beautiful, and free.
So Mark asked me a question, actually, before we got on stage. It's like, what percentage of the folks in the audience are Linux developers? So if we could just see a share of hands of those who are working on Linux, servers or desktops or devices, I think you have an answer now.
That's pretty impressive.
Extraordinary contribution. So what is it we're here to announce?
So I'm very excited to say that as of today, because of substantial changes that your team has made, we can actually make Linux available directly, not built in, but very easily to users of free software desktops.
That's so Java to be incorporated into Ubuntu.
So Java will be directly accessible to Ubuntu users and Debian users, Gentoo users, all of the free software communities effectively now are able to bring Java in and make it available to their developers.
So I'd argue Ubuntu is probably the most important Linux distribution out there for developers. Certainly, I think we see it that way. But it's obviously not just for desktops anymore either. And
right. One of the big things that we're launching on June 1st is a server edition of Ubuntu. We want to bring that same clarity of expression, that same simplicity of installation, just works kind of effect to the Linux server as well.
Do you think it's going to run on more than one chip architecture? I mean, I don't want to have you pre-announce anything while you're up here.
But you know, I've heard about this the stunning new architecture of OS. You want to tell me something about that?
This is multi-threaded Niagara thing.
Multi-core, multi-net.
Yeah.
Do you think Linux would rock on that platform?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to ask you because I'm a Java guy, so.
All right, I don't know. The Linux heads out there, would you like to see Linux on a Niagara?
So maybe we should stay tuned, is what you're saying.
We can think about that one.
Good. Yeah, we have a whole week to think about it. So look, thank you very much. For those that don't know, Mark's actually a bit of an icon in the industry, and you actually have the distinct pleasure of having ridden in a space vehicle.
Yeah, I guess that makes me a part-time cosmonaut.
Yeah, and so other than the air sickness which you described earlier, what was it like actually riding in a space vehicle?
Well, it's kind of difficult to bring together all of those different emotions, right? You have pure terror and this unbelievable exhilaration when you get to see your hometown and your home planet stretched out in front of you. This very beautiful, very fragile experience.
So what did you actually ride on? You rode on a...
It's a Russian Soyuz, which has an 8-bit computer, and you actually, all of your guidance commands are in machine code. You're punching in, you know, memory location, command, memory location, execute, and then you wait, and then hopefully it does the right thing.
That's good. We have come a long ways, haven't we? So thank you again very much for flying us.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll stay tuned for what happens in a week or so. Now, one other individual, speaking of the importance of individuals, has, I think, done more to evangelize the Java platform beyond the confines, I think, of certainly how it was originally envisioned. This is one individual who's particularly colorful. He also happens to be a former Sun employee. And he also happens to be an individual who's been in the news recently. And so with that, I'd like to invite up what I certainly think is one of the most colorful individuals in the whole technology community, none other than Mark Fleury, the Chief Executive Officer of JBoss.
How are you doing?
Good. How are
Good
you?
Good to see you.
Thank
Good
you very much you. For joining us.
Thank you.
That's a nice hat.
Thank you. Well, it's a beret, actually. It's a red beret for those that didn't get it.
Now, rumor has it you're engaged in a corporate transaction you can't talk about, so I can't talk to you about Red Hat today. Is that right?
We're supposed to close on May 31st, and after that, we'll be a combined entity. We can't figure out whether to call it G Hat or Red Boss. It's complicated.
Red Boss. Yeah, it's going to certainly be an interesting integration, won't it be?
Yeah.
So we're actually here to announce something as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. So today we're jointly announcing that we're joining the NetBeans community. We have decided we have we've been big proponents, as you know, of professional open source, which is a rejection of the myth that with peace and love, free software falls out of the sky. But really that you need committed entities behind any successful free software project, be it Ubuntu, be it Sun with NetBeans. So we've seen that momentum, and now is the time to join.
And JBoss is obviously a member of the JCP and has actually done quite a bit, not only to evangelize the platform, but to continue to define the platform.
Sure.
And I'm assuming we're going to see that continue in the new
relationship. Yes, one of the very interesting things, I think, that has happened in the past 3 years, Jonathan, is the redefinition of the IDEs. If you look at the state of the art of the IDEs 4 years ago for developers, we were dealing with a very rich EE platform. And so the services and function of the platform were very good. The programming models by which the developers would get to the goodies was kind of getting in the way of development.
Right.
API-based interfaces, yada, yada. And you've seen in the industry at large, not only in Java, but in communities like, in fact, .NET, a lot of guys in the open source communities, come up with lightweight programming models. And 4 years ago, people would take the complicated thing and try to put UIs on top of it to simplify what was under. What we see today is we've decided to start again, add the programming model to enable framework developers to then leverage simplified programming models, and therefore the tools that are on top of it are an order of magnitude more powerful and simple to use. And I think NetBeans right now is the first and only platform with full EE support, really leveraging this next generation programming model that we'll see for the next 5 years.
So hold that thought.
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't be right to come to a tech conference and leave without the real currency. So I want to try this on for you and see how this does. Here we go.
Photo op.
Here we go. Where's the photo op?
Yeah.
So this is for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I want to thank you again for your leadership and the passion and commitment you obviously show for the community. And we're looking forward to a newly invigorated relationship with Red Hat and with JBoss. And I know we can't talk about that, but again, thank you very much.
We too. We're looking forward to this. Good. Thank you, John.
Thanks very much. So I think what we've been talking about certainly suggests that all of your expectations for what happens next should just continue to rise. I mean, by no means are we done with the definition of the platform, and by no means are we done with individuals as well as entities, as well as corporations getting involved to continue to define not only the platform, but the opportunity that platform presents. And so I think that really gets to, I guess, my top level point, and it's a point you're going to hear echoed throughout this week, which is you should expect more. You should expect more from Sun, from Motorola, from Canonical and Ubuntu, from JBoss and Red Hat. You should expect more from the community broadly. Now, in my getting a new job a couple weeks ago, for those of you that were actually watching what was going on, my first act of Congress as the new CEO at Sun Microsystems was to reach into the future somewhat by reaching into the past. And there's someone I asked to return to Sun, someone who's been arguably the strongest single advocate in the history of Sun for the delivery of next generation developer platforms, the continued pushing of technology innovation and market opportunity. That individual is a man named Rich Green, who I'd now like to invite on stage with me. He's the Executive Vice President of Software for Sun Microsystems. Rich? Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
And clearly you didn't get the message about the dress code either.
One of us didn't,
yeah. Right. So let's see, you've been back at Sun now for what, a week and a half?
A whole week and a half of meetings.
Meetings, and how many days of meetings have you been in the first week and a half?
All but one day.
Yes.
That's right.
So if you want to know why Rich isn't actually emceeing this event, it's because he's had a day to be back at Sun and we figured we'd give him a bit of a rest. But I thought, you know, some of the things we could do is talk about the questions that are certainly going to be on the minds of the folks that are in this hall as well as online. Mm-hmm. And you and I haven't had that much time other than in those meetings to talk about the future mm-hmm. of the software business, the future of the software industry. And so I'd like to ask you probably the number one question on the minds of everyone in this audience, which is, where did you get those shoes?
How about the number two question?
The number two question.
Okay, fine, yes.
Are you going to open source Java?
Well, it's great to be back. Right. So when Scott used to do this to you, you enjoyed it? Okay. Well, look, I'm going to play a bit of the new guy card here and make it clear that this is something for us to go figure out. But here's my perspective on all this. And I think it's pretty straightforward, but I think we have to kind of lay the cards on the table. There's two battling forces here. There's the desire to completely open this up, complete access. I mean, so many changes of the licenses have been made that it's virtually all there. But there is the sense of wanting to complete the program. The flip side is compatibility really matters. I don't think anybody wants to see a diverging Java platform. One of the great values of Java has been that we've been able to keep it together, something you can all rely on in terms of its consistency and value and evolution. And the challenge going forward is how to solve for both of those things. And I'm going to sign up big time to go figure that out. I think it's at this point not a question of whether, but a question of how. And I think we're going to figure this out together.
Could you repeat that again, Rich? I think you actually said something pretty profound.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not
as you are wont to do.
As is my wont. It isn't a question of whether, but a question of how. And so we'll go do this.
So now, what is the role that the individuals in the audience can play in helping you think through that?
Well, you've mentioned it. I think Jeff shortly will mention some of the details, but this really is an issue of doing more. And you know, I think you've alluded to it, but we at Sun are going to sign up for more focus, more attention spent to the technology, to the community, to reaching out and listening closely to people. But we really need you folks to sign up. You know, 10,000 of my closest friends. For you to sign up to participate with us and give us feedback, participate in the JCP, use NetBeans, a technology that you will always be able to count on as being the standard generating the code that will absolutely be compliant. Go get that stuff. There are a number of acts that we're going to ask of you that if you step up and do that and do it regularly, we'll be able to move this program ahead.
So I'd like to thank you for that. I think we have a nice new sign here. And I'd like to repeat for those that missed it, the question is not whether we will open source Java. Now the question is how.
Yes.
And again, we'd like to invite all of you to participate. So now I'd actually like to engage in a relatively symbolic gesture. For those that don't have the privilege of giving keynotes, this little device is called a pickle. I'm serious, it's called a pickle. And so this is called the passing of the pickle. And I would like to officially pass to my friend, Mr. Green, the pickle, the keys to Java 1. These are now your shows. I'd like to thank you for your leadership in the past. I'd like to look forward to your leadership in the future. And with that, congratulations.
Thank you very much, John.
The show is yours.
Thank you very much. So with this pickle, we shall go forth together. So. Let me just move ahead a little bit. As I mentioned, there are a couple of actions that I'd like you to take. We'll be repeating this throughout the week, but a couple of things. Join SDN at developer.sun.com. Go do that. Get the latest access to technology, the latest access to tools. programming methodologies, et cetera. Again, this is all about access and compatibility, right? Download the latest stuff at java.sun.com. Everybody knows this, but go there often. There's always fresh bits and fresh information for you. And then finally, as we'll be repeating throughout the program, join the JCP, jcp.org, participate in java.net. These are the programs that when we're working together on these things will allow us to ensure that compatibility will remain the priority and we can then provide access to all. So with that, let's move ahead. One great example of compatibility is the recent vote and approval of the J2EE, oh no, I've been gone 2 years, the Java EE 5 specification. This was in fact the first time that we had a quick unanimous approval of the spec, and we're all very excited about that. It's a big step forward, a big milestone in a great evolution of the technology. So I'd like to welcome onto stage all the folks who have participated in the process, so please join me up here. It just... So reading left to right, right to left, very important folks, folks who really contribute their time and energy to make sure that Java EE is the latest and greatest and most useful, most compatible technology around. So one more round of applause for these folks. And if I may, if you wouldn't mind, please show everyone what's important to all of us about Java. All right, thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it. Right. It's time to talk specifics, right? And I'm very happy to introduce a fellow I've worked with for a long time. When I was given the responsibility of the Java organization years ago, there was this guy who introduced himself just before the holiday break. He was toiling away on getting now Java EE, at the time J2EE, to be finalized and packaged and productized. And over the years, he has done a spectacular job of driving innovation, really enabling community, powering up the NetBeans program. It just a brilliant fellow. I couldn't be happier to point to his successes. And so with that, let me introduce to you the Senior Vice President of Java, Jeff Jackson.
Thank you very much. The passing of the pickle, I guess, once again. It's really great to be here, and I'd like to take a minute just to thank all of the expert groups on all of the JSRs that participated in Java EE 5. There were quite a lot of JSRs, and there was a very large group, so those of you, especially the experts in the back, thank you very much. It's been a privilege to sort of guide the Java platform for SE and EE over these past 10 years. And it's greatly sort of a joy to work with all the really intelligent people that work on Java. But there's one thing I have to comment on, and that's naming of these releases, which, if you've been following them, there's Merlin, there's Tiger, there's Mustang, there's Dolphin, there's Glassfish. And so when we're putting this presentation together, it was a little bit like being stuck in the Ace Ventura Pet Detective movie. And you'll see why as I go on. And I haven't even got to things like Cuddle and Bipple and Soa and Pojo. So we'll keep going here. And I don't think anybody can say the word Bipple with a straight face ever, even when they're looking you straight in the eye. So before we go into Java EE 5, I'd like to sort of flip back to the JCP. And there was a survey taken by the JCP group recently, and it encouraged a lot of people to participate, and we had a lot of end user companies participate in this, people who use the technology that we all produce here today. We also had individuals contribute to the survey as well as JCP partners, and we had three takeaways, right? And the most important was portable apps and compatible platform remain the most valued asset of the Java platform. And you heard Rich talk about how we're going to preserve that, and it really depends on you and participation. There was also a very strong commitment to future application development in Java, and a very strong preference for Java over any other platform out there. And that really says that everybody in this room who participates in the Java program and in Java platforms has done a great job in maintaining compatibility. Now, let's get right down to Java EE 5. That's the big thing at the conference this year. It has the right stuff, okay? The right stuff is in there. And we have five demos in here, four that involve Java EE 5 and one for Java SE. And we'd like to show you today how easy it is to do development on Java EE 5, how Web 2.0 support is enabled, how .NET interoperability is enabled, and how you can build simplified SOA applications with tools. Now remember, we dropped the two, just like Rich said, so you got to get used to saying Java EE, which is really hard for me, not to say 2 EE or Java 2 EE. And when you go to the website now, your favorite website, java.sun.com, you have to say /Java EE. You have to remember that. There'll be a couple of errors in the slide here, and see if you can catch them, because we're in the transition from Java 2 EE to Java EE. And we'll talk a bit about the features of Java EE 5. It's here. It's ready. It's done. You can use it. You can pick it up. You can develop on it, and you can deploy on it in production. Okay, we're going to talk about our major focus around ease of development, and we're going to talk about some of the features here quickly. Now, Bill Shannon's going to be talking about these in detail in the technical keynote later on today, in great detail, if you know Bill. And he's going to be showing lots of code for how to do things. But let's cover some of the big ones here. We have a new simplified programming model with annotations. We have EJV3 with POJOs. That was a big change in this release. We have a new Java Persistence API, and Oracle participated very well in that. It's our foundation for service-oriented architecture. And we have some examples of Web 2.0 applications with AJAX. And best of all, we have a NetBeans release to go with it. Now, where do you pick up the technology? It's, again, it's your favorite site, java.ee/downloads. You can go and get the Java EE5 SDK today. It's ready. It's production quality. You can use the app server. You can develop on it. You can deploy on it. You can get support and services from Sun if you wish. It's ready to go, so go get it. It has lots of interesting other features in there. A full admin console with especially enhanced web services management, a 30% decrease in memory footprint, and a 30% improvement in startup time. So it's there. And I'd like to remind everybody that this release was done under the CUDL, or CDDL open source license, and it was done by the EE community out on java.net called Glassfish. And of course, if you were not working in Glassfish, you kind of get the, you have the knowledge of a place to go, right? And Eduardo Pellegri created a place for bloggers and people to join in. It's called the Aquarium. And everybody's been joining to talk around the aquarium, sort of like the water cooler for EE and Glassfish. And there's many people to just sort of drop in and start talking, right? And they really do have a good time there. And I'd like to invite up here, he's already here, Jeet Kaul, the director of engineering for the EE platform, who's going to show us NetBeans and Java EE5 and ease of development. Welcome, Jeet.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you.
I promise not to ask you any Monty Python questions that I asked you in the rehearsal, okay?
Please, please don't. So, you know, my team told me it's really easy to build applications using Java EE5 that even a manager like me could actually go ahead and do it.
Or like me?
Or even like you.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess I'm here because they want to make a point here. What I'm going to actually show is a very simple blog server that we put together here. And this blog server, you know, was built with NetBeans 5.5. You can build it from scratch. It took about 15 minutes or so to go ahead and build it. And let me go ahead and show you what it comes around like. Of course, it took us a little while to go in and finesse the HTML and CSS part of the stuff. So here is a blog from two people that you know really well.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Do you see the nice picture?
Yes,
here?
I see the very nice picture.
Very good. So I just want to know that there are two blogs right here. I'm going to go ahead and add a comment. I'm going to say, I like this blog. And right here, you see that. Yeah. Now, what I would like to show you now is the code behind this thing. And I'm going to open NetBeans 5.5. Now, this is a nightly build from 10th of May, running a nightly build from Glassfish. Don't blame me if things go wrong here. So we're going to start off with two tables, of course. Here is the post table, which is the subject for the blog and the text for the blog. And here's the comment that I just entered. And of course, here's the key that associates the comment table to the post table. Let me show you the sources here. There are two files that I want you to kind of take a look at. One of them is comment.java, another one is post.java. And these, I just want to scroll through quickly. Oh, I didn't know you authored these files. Oh. So look at these files, very simple. There is no hidden XML, there is no deployment descriptor here. All you need is annotation right here that associates this class file with the table right here, the comment. And again, there are associations being made right here between the fields right here and the column names. So as you can see, Java EE 5 makes programming model very simple by use of annotations here.
But you haven't actually done anything yet.
So
are you going to show?
Okay. Yes, I'm
you want me to ask you a Monty Python question?
No, please don't.
I think you deserve one right about now.
Oh, no, please.
What is the average swimming speed of the unladen glassfish?
I don't know.
Okay, well, do you know about this tool? Show us some more.
Okay, all right. So, you know, I was thinking that I want my boss to know that I'm reading her blogs. Right now I only can enter the text, but I would like to add a name there too. So I'm going to go ahead right now and create a new column. And this is going to be a string of 32 characters. Okay, right here you get it. Now let me show you how easy it is to make that entry into the entity class here. So, now because I have actually named the field right here exactly the same as the column name, Java EE 5 knows to associate this with that column name. You do not need to add any annotations over here. I do need to add some getters and setters here. I'm going to use autocomplete feature of NetBeans here to do a getter and setter right here. So far what I have done is I've made the change in the data part of it, entity classes and the tables, and I'm going to now go ahead and make changes in the visual part of it. The two places I need to make changes here is places where I actually go ahead and create the comments. So I'm going to use cut and paste here. I'm going to do it again here. So right now you see, so first I was only able to see the comment. Now I'm going to go ahead and add an author to here. And here we go. So what you're going to actually see right now is I'll be able to edit the comment and be able to put my name in there. So let's add a comment. There you go.
All right.
So this is how easy it is to actually build stuff in Java EE 5.
What about web services?
Web services also, very easy to build web services. In Java EE 5, same kind of a process. Let me go and quickly build one for you here. Let's call them blogs. So what I have right now is an empty class here. Take a look at the annotations, identifies this class as a web service. I'm going to go ahead and do autocomplete here. I'm, you know, saving time here. So I have a method here, add blogs, takes in the subject and the text of a blog. Mm-hmm. I'm creating an entity object here, setting the subject and text. All I need now to do is persist. So I'm going to go ahead.
Always persist, G.
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and create a entity manager. Right here is a resource injection. You get the context here. And this context gets you the entity manager, which we're going to use to save. And NetBeans is telling me right now to change the name here, so I'll change. I got to fix imports here. And we're ready to go. So what I'll be actually doing here is show you using the web service right now and actually being able to add a blog to the blog entry that you saw. So here we go. Okay, so let's go here. I'm going to refresh this right here. Mm-hmm.
Really cool.
So
and what about JSF?
So, you know, I'm glad you talked about JSF. So, you know, we have been working on JSF components for a long time as part of this Java Blueprints catalog stuff that you're well aware of. And what JSF components do really well is they encapsulate this JavaScript in here, and we are allowing people to drag and drop these components in there so they don't have to work with and have to worry about the JavaScript stuff. I'm going to show you a really quick one here. So here is the list of the components right here. I'm going to show a pop-up in this example. And what I need to do now is, you know, add some JavaScript events so that I can trigger those, that component over here. I have to actually include the libraries. I'm going to hit run here. And as I scroll.
Oh,
there you go.
There you go. All right.
You have seen all that I can show.
All it is. Okay, thank you very much, Jeet.
Thank you.
And again, this was built in the community, so we'd like to take a moment and thank some of the community members, especially our community stars around GlassFish. They're here up on the screen, especially Kay and Jacob and Levy and Tom. This really was a community effort here out on GlassFish, and this community got started and revved up really, really fast. And again, as Rich said, the challenge is to participate, to join the community, to contribute, okay? To discuss, to argue, to feature, right? To talk about the things and what we need to change in a community. And we'd like to actually thank the whole community, not just the stars, because this is a very large community at GlassFish. We've had over 250,000 downloads since GlassFish came up. We've had over 20 OSS frameworks. We have over 300 contributors. It's really been a big success. So thank you to all the GlassFish community members. Now, community requires back and forth. It requires care and feeding. It requires open discussion. And it also requires contribution. And so today, we're going to make another contribution to open source here in some microsystems. So in the EE community on java.net, we're donating today in open source our Java message queue system. That's today. It'll be out there, open source. You can join that community. It'll be part of EE. And it's great code. Come talk to the engineers. I'd also like to point out something you may have missed, but earlier in February, we took a lot of the technologies in our Java Studio Enterprise product, our tool there, the UML, the collaboration, and so forth, and we donated those to NetBeans, and that's what forms the basis of the Enterprise pack. And that's already done. You can go to netbeans.org today and pick it up.